Welcome to GamerCast, episode 144, recorded on the 15th Sunday. Smidge a little bit late on recording because I was doing a dungeon and you were doing a dungeon. Then you came over and helped me in my dungeon.
Yeah, because that noob Falklor ran out of ammo. What kind of huntard is that? I'm running on ammo, so it expects me to use my, you know, mega expensive blue quality
arrows. He was going on about ammo when we first got there, and he said, I'm going to get some ammo, and then he said something, and then we carried on. So I presumed he'd bought it, but I guess he couldn't find the ammo he wanted and was just kind of like, yeah, screw that, and hope for the best. But no, thanks to you and him, I managed to ding to level 50, which is just going to give me a foot up on the plague lands on leveling up. Brindley slowly getting there. Brindley, the slowest dwarf in Azeroth.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. So, other than World of Warcraft, we have been playing Blizzard Authenticator.
Yeah, it was cool. I decided, because I'm getting a little bit more World of Warcraft, and I'm not just mooching about and going, oh, kill that, ooh, kill that. I'm trying to learn a lot more, because I'm too busy just playing the game not to really understand a lot of it myself. So I'm starting to read a lot more. And I know that if you go a little bit too far on some websites, there's that chance of being hacked. No, fair enough. If anybody hacks me, I feel
sorry
for them.
Dude, if anybody hacks the DIN, they better look out.
I know that they can replace a lot of stuff and things like that. And it was just kind of
I had complete Tier 7 raid gear from Nax, and I had all of this stuff. And can I have it back, please?
Because I know Blizzard has a reporting system that keeps track of every item you've got deleted, sold, the lot. So from a certain time point, they can actually see.
So they know I don't have all this 25 gear and access.
Yeah, exactly. They have access. Literally everything you've owned, equipped, unequipped, sold, deleted, mailed to someone, and every single word you've typed is all recorded for them to be able to look at.
Every word I've typed.
Yeah, whenever they want to.
Even when I was calling Falklor a noob.
So, you know, for harassment purposes, they go, well, this person keeps coming up to me and he runs around in circles and he's yelling these rude words at me, and it's impossible because you just found this guy and you decided to obliterate him because he screwed you over in a dungeon or something. If something's put across, because it basically is down to them versus you on their word, the GM will just look through the reports and see exactly what conversation was said between the two people and then can make the decision from there, which is quite cool.
What's that got to do with what you're talking about?
I don't know. I'm looking into the idea of getting a Blizzard Authenticator. So I had a look on the website and it's like, £4. Might as well. Nothing wrong with it. Bit of extra security and it seemed quite cool. And I heard a lot of people say they're really easy to sort out, and some people just going on about, oh, I can't be bothered to do it sort of thing. So, ordered one not that long ago, actually, and it didn't take long for it to turn up. Came in a little jiffy bag, and it's quite tiny, actually. I'd say it's about the length of my little finger. Not too bad. It's got a link to their support page of what you're supposed to do. And pretty much, you literally just sign into your account. Go to the very bottom through all the paid stuff you can do, like change name and change your character's look and stuff, to inviting friends to join you, all the way to the bottom, and there's the Blizzard token.
Dude, wait a second. I have to say, Sonic, we had a very important letter this week.
Okay.
Quack, quack.
Is that all Falklor has just said?
Yeah, that's flipping Falklor for you. I knew we shouldn't have told him that we're going to be recording the show after we do that dungeon, because now he's on air bugging me. Quack, quack. I don't know why he says quack quack all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, please continue. You said something about a token.
Yeah, so you go to, it's got Blizzard Authenticator token. So you click on it and it says, shows a picture of a Blizzard Authenticator of its back, and it's got a serial number. And it asks you to type the serial number in minus the dashes. It's, you know, don't put the dashes in. You type it in, press go, and it says, your authenticator has been attached to your account. So you go log in. Straight away I was thinking, well, okay, this helps me from someone getting into my account and my character, but what about actually getting into my credit card details and stuff? Fair enough, you can't see anything. But it actually, the authenticator jumps in there as well. So logging in to make any changes or actually playing with a character requires the authenticator. So you log in as normal. So I don't normally log in when my username is saved. Type in your password and it will go a step further forward, and it kind of like, you know, like in Vista where it stops you from doing anything and grays out the screen. It kind of goes a little bit like that with this little box saying, please push the authenticator button and type in the number. So you got your authenticator, you push the button on it, comes up with a number, type it in, press go, you're straight in. Fair enough, it's that one extra thing, but just for a button push and to type in a serial number, it didn't take that long, and I just keep mine on my desk now. I was going to bring it down, but I forgot.
I just have a password.
So
I have a long and majorly epic Uber password.
So I quite like
actually,
it.
Actually, my password's actually quite weak. I should really...
make it strong. Make it strong. But yeah, I was quite impressed with how simple it is. You know, a minute and it's attached to your account. And the other thing that I found out is if you're one of those people who, say for a mistake, you play with your girlfriend or your brother and you're all in the same room and you'd like to
put them all on one account. You'll notice the guild isn't here today.
No, they're all missing. All the computers are empty.
The guild didn't show up.
Or say for a mistake, you're a person who decides to run two accounts and you like boosting one of your own characters and you have them following you around and stuff like that.
Boosting your own characters. It must get really dull.
You can put on one authenticator onto multiple accounts, but it means that authenticator is needed for all of the accounts sort of thing. That was pretty cool and very, very quick to organise. I've heard loads of people saying, oh, we've gotten a Blizzard authenticator, I won one, and they just can't be bothered to link them in, but it is so simple to do. Fair enough, if you go somewhere and you don't have the authenticator with you and you go on to play WoW, you are locked out and you can't get into your WoW account.
Put it on your keyring.
But yeah, it goes on the keyring, it has a little keyring thing attachment to it, so it goes on there. If you break it, you bust it, you know, I think the batteries last on for God knows how long. You can just get another one sorted out and authenticated onto your account, so... you know, it's not the be-all or end-all, but it adds that extra layer of security to your account. And they also had a little message in there that you had to tick to say that acknowledgement of the new account system that's coming up, where you'll have the Blizzard account instead of having the WoW account, which will have your account for Diablo 3.
And StarCraft and all that.
And, yeah, and ThingyNet, BattleNet, all built into one sort of thing. Which is quite cool.
Great. So now not only are they going to steal my gold from WoW, they're going to bugger up my Diablo stuff.
Yeah, so you better go get yourself an authenticator.
Nah, I just have a password. Thank you very much. It's cheaper. Right, so you're actually going to say that you have played...
the Tom Clancy Hawks
demo.
Not too bad for demos. It's a standard game, but they've just locked out lots of the options. You can only play it on standard. One plane to pick from. The first one is a training mission teaching you how to kind of fly with it. And then the other one is a mission which I only played partway through. And then I logged off. But it's arcadey. Yeah. But that's obvious with the console it's on. You know, it's not one of these ones where you're going to have to learn how to take off and land and stuff like that. The good thing about it is you can go from a camera point tailing behind the plane, you can go from inside the cockpit, or you can go where you're right up against the hood. You've also got this thing where you turn the onboard computer off and you get this kind of like...
and then the plane crashes.
The camera is kind of like a third person far out. And it's for like dogfighting and stuff like that, and you making the plane come around and trying to do it without stalling to get around missiles and stuff. That was weird.
Getting around missiles, what? The missiles like follow you that closely?
And chaff comes out. And I must admit, it's quite good. They got this weird thing where you're putting on it makes a virtual corridor, like these beams going around, showing you where you should follow. And if you follow the corridor, you can do these nice banks and come around to drop missiles into buildings or come up behind aircraft, sort of thing. It's a bit like, you know, when you're playing Project Gotham and it's got that perfect line on the road that if you follow, you'll be able
racing
to go...
racing line.
Yeah, it's basically what got a virtual racing line on the hood that you can follow to track round. And also, they got ones for evading missiles so that you can bank round. And as long as you're staying there, you should get out of the way of the missile when the chaff comes out. It doesn't seem too bad. It's still got the connection with, like, you know, a little bit with the Sam Fisher... mainly with helping with the Ghost Recon team, and I think there's something to do with Rainbow Six team in there and stuff. So it's kind of like you're the air support for the general time of everything. And I know it's got some connection with that World War game that was out that I had to go on, which was a bit weird. Control system, you know, you can pick up and play and you are away sort of thing. The main attack button, which is A, is firing the missiles. B is the gun. Y is changing weapons. You basically, forwards and backwards is pull up, pull down. And then it roll to the left, roll to the right. The right stick is for the camera to quickly swing the camera around. And the Y button is to change target. And then your triggers, left trigger is deaccelerate, right trigger is accelerate. And, you know, you can stall on the plane or start coming out. And you've really got to try and fight to pull it back out of the stall and stuff. So, yeah, I must admit, graphically, it looks amazing for a flying game. I was a bit kind of concerned of how this was going to go. Is it going to go more simmy? Or I must admit, the Tom Clancy games have gone further away from their sim original, because I loved the Rainbow Six series when
they used
first
to be
came
really
out.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
And now any munchkin can play them.
I must admit, the Rainbow Six, like Rainbow Six Vegas and Rainbow Six 3, were good. I had them and the expansion packs and the Rainbow Six Vegas. I didn't have one, but I had two. And I was quite impressed with those. I do like them. But compared to the gaming experience I had from the first one, where you could plan your route in and everything like that, it just seemed so much better. And I was kind of, as soon as I found this coming out, I was kind of like, oh, if only this was like a PC release and it was like a proper like flight simulator style game where you were having to take off, choose all your weaponry. And even if you are, you know, flying high tech, the Lockheed Martin F-22 Raptor, you know, doing that in some sort of beautiful sim.
That's a piece of junk.
I know, but, you know, a whole range of aircraft and just, it would be lovely. I'd be more of a sim, you know, being able to have to land it, rearm, fuel, all of those things would be lovely. But, again, no. But, easy pick up and play, nice dog fighting. I really like it, but not enough to buy it. This demo hasn't made me scream, oh my god, this needs to go in my collection of Tom Clancy games. I like Splinter Cell. I've always been a big fan of
Splinter Cell.
But it's kind of veered off. I want to see what this new one's like, but I've just kind of I lost interest. Do still like the Rainbow Six and the Ghost Recon. I really did like that. And after I got rid of my Xbox and got a new one, I really kept saying I need to go back and get Ghost Recon 2 and have a go with that, and I really liked Ghost Recon 2. And I must admit, I wish I hadn't got rid of Rainbow Six now, because I really could go back and play that, but I just haven't been playing it for a while. But yeah, I would definitely put it into the socket of good demo, well worth just picking it up for a play.
Worth putting on your download queue.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those ones where you're going to have to make a judgment for yourself. You might be more of an arcadey type person, and this idea is just kind of like just for you. You're really going to like this. Or you're just going to be kind of like, I imagine Paul will like the look of it, and you'd be wanting more from it, but it's not going to deliver what you would require from that type of game.
Nope.
I think if you were watching someone playing it, you might be interested. But I think once you got your hands on it, you'd probably be like, yeah, this is a bit...
whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a kid's game.
It's a bit too... I'd like...
Where can I control my fuel mixture?
You know, my favourite flight game was...
Combat
Simulator, Flight Simulator 2. And...
203.
The Eurofighter game that was out.
Typhoon or whatever it was.
Yeah, that... I really did like that.
Right, so yeah, worth putting on down the queue. Bit of news. Square Enix has offered to buy Eidos.
Whoa,
Adam goes.
Whoa. They got extra pocket money.
Yeah, they offered them £84.3 million, which is 93.2 million euros, which works out at 32 pence per share, which is 258% more than what they were worth on January 14th, when the bid was made. So yeah, it seems like a good deal. They're offering about twice the value the company probably
Eidos still own the rights to Tomb Raider, don't they?
I imagine so.
Yeah, I can't remember if they moved it on or not. So yeah.
Yeah, a bit of interesting news there.
I hope that it's more in the sense of they buy
Square Enix have, you know, over the last few years have been really keen on expanding
It'd be nice if Square Enix keep them as they are to start developing games, but of just putting the money in and trying to give them a new direction. But because the Tomb Raider games haven't been too bad. I think the last one's not done too bad. Was it Underworld or something like that?
Underworld or Underman or Underground, I don't know. I get confused with Need for Speed.
Yeah. Yeah, not too bad. At least the companies are using the opportunity to buy out the other ones to keep the industry going. But I don't think the industry will ever flop, because out of all the people who are being very careful of how much money they actually spend on video games, kids with their pocket money are not on that list. Oh, Dawn of War 2, that's going to be out soon. That is just going to be immensely cool. Ooh.
Dead Rising 2.
Dead Rising 2. Nice. That looks incredibly cool.
Yep, we'll talk about that later on, perhaps. Killzone 2 demo. This is obviously a PlayStation 3 game.
Yep.
This is the game which they had their fake footage, which they tried to hype the PS3 up with.
Yeah. Now, my mate Gary had a go.
It looks good in slow motion. If you speed it up, it'll look crap.
My mate Gary had a go on it, and he was a bit disappointed at first.
This is Gary Smith.
Yeah. He said, I warn you now, it's really sluggish. And supposedly, and he said supposedly with the bunny ears, that it was intentional, but he's not 100% sure if this was just something that happened and they couldn't get out of it. But they're saying that it's because you're wearing the body armor. They wanted to make it feel like you're not as agile as you should be. When I played it, I felt it straight away, but I, a little bit of a go, it didn't bother me too much. He said he'd bumped up his sensitivity to counteract it. But myself, I found it not too bad, actually. You weren't sprinting everywhere, but you're like, chug, 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 and you've got this gun and stuff.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
It's kind of running a similar system to Ghost Recon and Gears, where you can go up against the wall and shoot over the top sort of control system. It's not the same as where you're not really looking and you're doing cover fire. It is, you're sticking your head up, aiming and shooting. Graphically, it's got an atmosphere about it, and it does look nice.
Looks good. It's up there with everything else.
Yeah, it's a top tier game. I'd be very interested to see what sort of multiplayer this has got and what that is going to be like.
I think multiplayer is going to be its weak spot.
Yeah, that's what worries me. I know that they've had a lot of trouble trying to get a lot of things sorted for this, because they were after nothing but perfection, because it was supposed to be
the time, you know, PS3's main AAA title.
I know,
and it, you know, it's not looking that good. It's review wise 7 out of 10s.
Yeah,
so that's sort of average when you consider.
My mate
that
Scott was going to go work on the game as an animator, but the company he was trying to work through with them screwed him about too much, because they were faffing about trying to get people on the cheap to try and get as much.
Oh, look, it's Falco's dog.
Trying to get as much done as possible. Oh, woofer. Yeah, I kept seeing, like, when I'm looking for advertising.
He wants to know what my avatar is. It's that stupid Yeti dude, isn't it? It's that,
yeah.
What's his name? Bumble or something, or Bumbler, I don't know.
But yeah, when I've always looked
around
for
work. Well, let's just totally go off on a tangent and talk about all the people who are talking to me on Messenger.
Yeah. When I've been looking for work and back in magazines and stuff, of what companies are hiring, and now and again, you just kept seeing Killzone 2 keep popping up as a regular item of them trying to get people on there. So I think they had a continued flow of, we need more work, we don't need more work. And I think it looks like they've done a really good job with the look of it. It really does look nice, and I think a lot of Killzone fans will not be disappointed with this. And the demo itself.
Well, let's face it,
if
you're a Killzone fan, nothing can disappoint you, apart from maybe Shellshock 2.
But, yeah.
It's the first Killzone was a bit on the pants side.
I don't know if I'm going to be buying this game, just for the fact, as everyone knows, I'm still on a bit of a hiatus with spending too much money on video games, because I'm saving.
Yeah, just play well, mate.
Yeah, playing well.
You know, you're level 50 now. You're getting there. Soon you're going to be kicking butt with us in, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And also the fact I'm looking at, like,
level 50.
The November games, like,
level 50.
I
remember
Fable
when
2.
I remember when Brindley was his, like, level 30 noob.
What else was it? And Fallout 3. So, you know, there's other games I want to go back and get my hands on at the moment, and games that are yet to come out which I really want, like Dawn of War 2, that I'm looking forward to. That one, I'm just kind of like, I made, if it's a good enough price and I see it come down in a good price, definitely getting that. And I'm considering that while I'm on flight paths, I'm just going to have my PC set up next to me on pause with Dawn of War, and I'll just carry on playing Dawn of War while I'm on a flight path, and then pause the game and come back to WoW.
Yeah, good idea. Speaking of games, I've been playing Oblivion as of late.
You going back to Oblivion?
Yep, I've started a new character.
On, you playing this on your PC or on the...
On the PC, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've, you know, got it. Put some good mods on there, so some really nice mods which redo the colours, which make it much more vibrant. Redo the water, redo the sky. There's high-res textures for distant stuff. So, you know, they've upped the graphics, of birds flying around and all this. So there's a few mods which up the graphics. I mean, it still looks dated when you compare it to, like, Crysis or something. It's still good looking. So yeah, I've started a new character, just to, like, goof around with when I'm fed up of playing WoW. And he's level 2 now. He's completed the arenas. He's mainly like a spellcaster. Dude, I'm actually tempted to go and redo it, because I don't have conjuration as one of my major skills, and I really want... I like to conjure stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did like doing that when I had my mage. I had a kind of a battle mage. So I went in there in armor with a sword, conjured up something to help me, throw some fireballs at someone, and then just go in there and hack away with a big sprawl sword.
Well, I started off, and this dude's more of a sort of healer. But I'm like, I really want to summon stuff.
Yeah, summoning is quite cool.
So I'm tempted to go back and redo him.
That's the thing that I always wish that they could have brought into WoW, is the fact that you could go to someone and kind of like, well, you need to get a bit of this and a bit of that, come to me, bit of a potion, and we'll make you a new fire spell, but this fire spell is going to do this certain damage after you've done it, and you can mix and match what you wanted to, and you could make this ultimate spell, but it was going to cost more than you could ever earn. So unless you had like the cheating for gold, or like that thing that I found that gave me loads of gold because I found a bug in the game, unless you had something like that, you're not really going to...
Bug in the game?
Yeah, I found a bug in the game where have you ever gone down the vampire route and become a vampire?
With one of my characters, yeah.
When I became a vampire, the person who owns the town, which I ended up owning a house in, is a vampire, and you follow through...
Oh, Chazenal, is it?
Yeah, I think so. The person who owns that whole entire kingdom.
No, like, Skingrad, isn't it?
Yeah, Skingrad, that's it. And I went through all the quest line with him, and you find out that he doesn't want to hurt anyone. He's a nice vampire, and he's literally... the only reason he doesn't want to find a cure for himself is he wants to stay a vampire so he could live as long as possible to find a cure for his wife, who's he's forced into, I think, some sort of coma or stasis, and she's a vampire or not a vampire, something like that, and he's trying to keep her alive from dying because she's got a disease or something. And you help him, and at the end of the quest line, he gives you money. And I was ready to walk off, but I was like, oh no, he wants to talk to me. So I clicked on him, and he said the last paragraph again, and then gave me some money. So I clicked on him again, and he said the last line again, and gave me some money. So I just aimed the cursor over him, and I went down. I went downstairs, and I sat there, and I watched a full feature film with my dad on Sky, just constantly tapping the A button, tapping the A button. And I came up, and I was like, yeah, I got loads of money. And then my dad yelled, I think my mum yelled CSI was on, so I was like, looked at the controller, looked at the screen, looked down at the doorway, and I was like, yeah, I'm going back and I'm going to make more money. And by the time I made all this money, I went and just bought my own house and furnished it and got servants and stuff.
Stop cheating.
It was great.
Well, I remember the talking mud crab from Morrowind.
Yes.
That was far better.
Yeah.
A talking mud crab merchant. Anyway, let's talk about the other demo which came out. Last week.
Yeah.
Which was Halo Wars.
Yeah.
So I take it you've had a chance to play it?
Yeah, I've had a little
bit. I've completed it.
What's your opinion? I found myself not as bad as when I was on End of War, where I was going skimming across the map whenever I used the analog stick.
Right. First impressions. Whoa, this thing has got pre-rendered cutscenes. I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting, you know, like normally on strategy games we have these really crappy
in-game,
yeah, you know, cutscenes. No, it's all pre-rendered stuff, so I mean it's up there with the other Halo stuff from that point of view. So that surprised me, because it tells me there's going to be a really, it's going to be highly story driven, and hopefully they're going to do a good job with that. But the characters did seem a bit cheesy.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I've got this automatic cheese level which is rising when the cutscene comes on. So they could have decreased the amount of cheese in it. But other than that, really good. Gameplay itself, simple to play. Controls are actually good. Bases are a bit limited, but it is a console, so I'll let them off.
More of a squad game than anything else from the feel of it. It's trying not to be too command and conquer for your base, and more
your base is just a thing. You quickly build it, and
then you get more units, then it's playing with the units.
But yeah, it's actually quite good. I think it's got two levels in the tutorial mission. It's also got skirmish play. You can play as either the Covenant or the Humans. And yeah, it's quite good. It's probably one of the better console real-time strategy games out there.
Yeah.
But it is not Supreme Commander.
No. I think that's the thing. It's a low-end RTS game, but I know people who have tried, like, Command & Conquer is out on the...
Yeah, if I never had a PC, yeah, I'd probably like this game, because I played Command & Conquer on the Saturn, and... You know, it's fairly similar to that. It's a bit more simple than that, because Command & Conquer was...
You can't go too
complicated. You still had fairly sophisticated bases.
Just imagine if you put this at the level with not even Supreme Commander, even lower than that, a proper RTS PC game, you're going to have pop-up menus coming out of your ass the entire time you're playing this game, and it would be unplayable. So the simple, you can see the simple is there for you. It's there to make this game more playable. But I must admit, straight away, I kind of like this game a lot. And straight away, the first thing that popped in my head, when's it coming out on PC?
Do you really want it on PC? They'd have to completely rework the controls, in my opinion.
Yeah, but straight away, I was kind of like, oh god, I wish this was on PC. I don't know what it is, I just like...
You just like your mouse.
Yeah. Now, fair enough, if they said, oh, by the way, plug in any Microsoft USB mouse or any, you know, mouse that would work with a PC, and... The control system swap over.
Because at the moment, you've got your left analog stick, and that controls what you look at and what you point at. So the cursor stays in the center of the screen.
Yeah.
You can't, you know...
It doesn't do the whole thing where it goes over to the right, and then all of a sudden you're going... Whoosh!
Yeah, and then it drags the screen over. No, it's literally... The cursor is locked in the center of the screen, and you move that around.
Yeah, which isn't too bad.
Which is better for a console, in my opinion.
Yeah. That was the thing that I had wrong with End of War. The Tom Clancy's End of War, I found myself swooshing all over the map and getting lost. But, I do like the look of it. And straight away, the UI, it was kind of like, you felt like you were back in Halo again. It felt like a Halo.
The menu came on, and the menu's like Halo 3.
Yeah. It feels like it's the little brother. It's the cousin to the rest of the other Halo games. So it fits in with the lore really well. I think it does.
Yeah, it looks interesting. The gameplay basically takes place on a planet called Harvest. It's set 20 odd years before Halo. You've got another Arbiter. You've got a previous Arbiter in there.
Yeah.
You still got Prophets and all that in there, so it's good. It mixes, you know, you've got a lot of it feels like a Halo game.
Yeah.
Even though it's
And I think the story that's been created for Halo made it ability, if you're gonna have an RTS game, it made a good prequel RTS, because you had all of, instead of it just being this tiny little hero class Master Chief and that's all you get and loads of Marines. It was, you get a hot couple of units of what were the Master Chiefs called? The
Spartans,
that's it. You just got a load of Spartans, you've got Marines, you've got the Warthogs, Scorpion tanks, you know, it makes a better RTS. If you try to make an RTS and call it kind of Halo 4 or Halo 3.1, you know, it's not going to work. And I must admit, I'm curious where they're going to go with Halo, with the fact they got that new sneaking kind of special forces guy.
Halo ODST.
Yeah, the recon bloke.
This dude who would get pwned by a grunt.
Making a different complete gameplay scenario for the Halo game. You're not a guy.
No, if you see a brute, you don't try and fight it, you run away quick.
Yeah, a brute all of a sudden becomes a...
like a super high-level raid boss.
Well, it kind of reminds me of the blue guys. What were they called? Hunters. It's like going up
against... Hunters were pansies! You just look behind them and... pew, pew.
I'm thinking Halo 1, the first time you started fighting them and you kind of like...
you go behind them and you go... pew, pew.
Yeah.
Well, although it did take you a while to work that out, of course.
Yeah, the first time you... it's when you...
first time, it's like, Halo, oh my god, I'm emptying clips into these dudes. I chuck grenades and they're not going down.
Halo 1, when you're a noob and you first started playing it, that's what it's like. But no, I'm quite impressed. They've done a good job, and I think people who are RTS fans and who don't mind having it on a console, or people who are kind of like...
only have consoles.
Yeah, I know of a few people who obviously got into RTS through Command & Conquer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're both PC gamers, so we're going to think it's lower on the scale because the PC obviously has some much better RTS games. But if you're a console RTSer, you've only been playing the crap on the PS2, a couple of releases on the 360, like Lord of the Rings, this is a really fantastic game for you.
Yeah, it's going to work well. For me, it's come out at the wrong time because Dawn of War 2 is out, and I've been waiting for that game for absolute ages, and I love the Dawn of War series, so you know, I'm hyped for that, especially the fact that Tyranids are in it.
Tyranid? What the hell's a Tyranid? A Tyranidinidin.
That's just annoying me now. He keeps changing his profile. Yeah, Halo Wars. Well,
I will not buy it.
No,
because
I don't think...
like a PC RTSer, no contest. I'll keep playing Supreme Commander.
Yeah, you can always go back to Supreme Commander. I don't think that game's got such a long life to it that they... what's the point? I honestly can't see the
Supreme
point.
Commander 2 by Square Enix. Mm-hmm. So they just publish it and don't ruin it. Yes, I'm looking at you, Connie Nindy Jukwakabakaba, whatever your name is. Don't ruin my game, thank you. And Chris Taylor, or whatever your name is, don't let him ruin it. And for Christ's sake, in the latest Forged Alliance patch, they flippin' nerf transports. So we had a fairly big issue in Supreme Commander where people would do a transport rush. Because you could load up units onto your transport. And unless you had any AA built, they would just take out your whole base really quickly early on. And what they've done is they've nerfed transport health. So they cut 50% of the health of all the transports.
So you don't go when into instead, a hot zone with them, you have to...
No, they're basically useless now, because if anyone's got even like one bloke with a pistol, he can shoot down all your transports. And they did that instead of doing the obvious thing, which was to reduce the damage output from a transport when loaded with units.
Yeah.
They should have just cut the damage. They should cut the health.
They should have made them so that they kicked ass when they weren't loaded, but when they were loaded, they just went in, defended themselves, dropped, and buggered
anyway,
off.
Anyway, I mean, this was a patch ages ago. Foulclaw says that his dog is called Crash. And Crash says quack.
Yeah, the dog's got issues.
Let's just put that down there now.
Yeah, let's ignore him.
Yeah, Foulclaw, we're not paying attention at the moment. Even though, we've got an advertisement to do as well.
Okay.
Order of Destiny Guild is recruiting Alliance players on Steam Battle Cartel. Should be level 60 and up. If you're level 80, we expect you to be well geared. But we don't really care because we've got noobs as well.
How's the Rise of the Dawn Star Guild going? I see there's lots of people in there. I guess it's just a lot of alts that are left in there.
Yeah, we've moved a few alts out. I'm tempted to move you out, even though you're below the level thing, just because, you know. Unless you hang with the big boys in our big guild.
Well, yeah, there's no point moving my hunter. My hunter's still level...
Well, I mean, Brindley's getting there, you know.
Level 50, and I'm just hardcoring. I'm determined to get him into burning now.
Yeah, get to 58, get to Outland.
Yeah.
Because Outland is like... For those two levels, you'll get to 60 and flat out, no time at all.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take you through the some dungeons as well, because the dungeons in Outland are actually quite enjoyable. And like stuff like Strafon, which takes way too long.
Yeah.
And it's just filled with these undead dudes who are just annoying.
I am liking being a paladin in the Plaguelands. It's just kind of like, yeah, it's my poning time.
Yeah, my poning time. So I want to know, why weren't you there like 4 or 5 years ago when it all got skanked up? Why have you turned up now? You're a bit late, aren't you? You silly person of the light.
You have to remember, I am Brinley, master of the holy light and the slowest dwarf in Azeroth.
Yeah, he was gooping around in Ironforge for a couple of years. Oh, there's anything going on up there. Can you use the underground?
But I'm going to mine with my hammer.
I like what they've done to mining now.
Yeah, with it's one tap node.
Yeah, one tap and boom. You so it works it. Like everything else.
Yeah.
Like herbalizing and stuff.
Yeah, and skinning. And it. I think it's a good way. And also the fact you had people who were tapping a node and then the other person would jump on and tap the node. And I just think it makes it much nicer with the fact that when you've got ore, they're being very careful where they put the nodes for the ascendant, because if you're not doing mining, you're still going to see them. They're still visible. So the herbalism, they've got to look like they're growing where they should be growing. So people who are herbalists know
herbalizers.
Where they know where they're looking for. And you have them on the rocks for the mining
nodes. You
have
them on exposed rocks, basically.
And there are going to be these places where you're going into underground and you'll get a lot in there. I find that you're going to have to clear all the mobs before you go tap one. At least now you've got that ability. The all mob is not coming for me. Quick tap, click, yes, everything, loot, carry on. Makes it a lot easier than constantly. Oh, can I,
tap,
have I got
tap,
another?
Tap,
have I got
tap,
another
tap? Tap, 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 tap,
and
tap, tap.
I've heard
tap,
that
tap, tap.
The original design for the node was that as soon as you did that first tap, it would tell you how much ore you were going to get and how many times you would have to tap. It would know that on the first go. So it's not like you're having to re-roll every time and they've ruined all of that. The game mechanics were already designed that as soon as you tapped it for the first time, it already knew what you were going to receive. So this time you just get it in one lump sum instead of having to do this constant mining.
Yeah, it's fine.
I like it. It's a nice upgrade. I'm liking the new upgrade on the latest patch for Paladins where the blessings, I think it's the blessings, were done. Or it was the seals. No, it was the seals.
Seal of Justice!
Have all been knocked up to
longer
30 minutes,
yeah,
which is nice with the way the game mechanics is done, because originally you had to put one on yourself, and then if you used the Hammer of Justice, it would use the alternative flip side of it. So you had one that if you wallop someone on the head, there was a chance of making them stun.
Divine intervention!
But if you do the hammer, it puts
Power
it,
of Justice!
It puts it on them so that they won't run away. Where now you've just got, basically, red hammer won't run away, yellow hammer heals, blue hammer gives me mana back. And then you've got the seal of, gonna whop him on the head, he might get stunned, I want constant heals when I hit him, I want mana when I hit him, I want extra holy damage when I hit him, and then my one I've been using lately, I can't remember what it's called, and that is really
Seal of Epic Power!
Really high holy damage, but it's not a guarantee you'll get it on that hit. There is a chance you may get this, but if you get it, I think it's like 113 holy, extra holy damage and stuff.
Wow, so much.
Wait, it goes up with your level,
I think. Yeah, I hope it does. Because yeah, it's a bit newbie for a level 80 paladin.
Hmm. But, yeah, I'm getting back into the paladin thing. Spectre Retribution.
Are you going to spec tank when you get to 80?
Yeah, I'm.
Or are you going to go heal? Because retribution isn't a lot good in dungeons and places. It's
no.
Only good for quickly leveling you up.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I'm going to keep it like that to help me get up, and then when I got to my end game, then what I'm thinking is with dual specking, see how everything goes. I might try and set myself up a nice set of gear that really helps with healing, and then a good set of tanking gear. So that
yeah.
I, because some people, I think, like we were talking about hunters, and I don't think there's a unless
hunter.
You put a, there's no reason to want to go beast mastery and then go, oh, I know, I'm going to swap to survival. It's more like your beast mastery and you, what's the middle tree called?
Marksman.
You've got one setup between the two of those that is perfect for doing dungeons and you just and raids or something, and then you've got another one in your mind which is like, actually, that's perfect for doing PvP and PvP only. So you could jump actually, between
the hunter trees are all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
There's a couple of major spells that you would want in each particular thing. So in the last big patch, survival has become the most powerful build for raids.
It's knocked it up a lot more.
But if you're doing PvP, I find that Beastmaster is good, even though you're not quite getting as much. Although it is, you know, it's still comparable DPS in most cases, unless you're doing 25 man, you know, raid bosses or something.
Yeah.
In which case, the survival will, because of the buffs of the whole raid, really push the DPS up. But Beastmaster gives you a Bestial Wrath, which basically makes you unstoppable for 18 seconds, and that's a good time to really kick some butt.
Yeah.
Marksman's good. Marksman's good. Well, yes, Marksman's really been replaced by Survival. Survival used to be the shit one, which was useless. Yeah. But now Survival and Marksman are pretty much comparable. You know, Survival's got the explosive shot, which is if you've got a sting on a target, it really whacks in some damage.
Yeah.
But then Marksman's also got silencing shot and all this sort of stuff.
They're saying that they're getting a slight nerf on something with the fact that now you've got that ability on one of the shots, like Sniper Shot, I think, or something like that. You don't have to stay. You won't have to stay out at 30... yards, you'll be able to come in closer, but you're not allowed to move. You've got to stand still when using it. So, like in arenas, you've got that thing of, oh my god, I'm gonna have to stand still for this moment. You cannot
stand still in the arena.
Exactly. So I heard that you know,
you might be able to. You can stand still for your opening shot if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, aim shot used to be a 3-second cast.
Yeah.
But it's instant cast now. But the damage on it's crap.
But yeah, with like say for own sake, Paladin or Druid. The whole
Drew
being able to go like with my Paladin, I know that I'll be able to set up gear, and with the dual specking I could have set up for protection with tanking, but then I could go for holy for healing, and it gives me that ability of, oh, I could jump between the two depending how the situation goes. If I'm kind of like, oh,
well, yeah, I mean,
someone, if I go with you guys and there's someone who's better at tanking than me and I don't really want to be secondary tanker, I could go, well, I'll just jump into holy mode and I will sit at the back and whack a few people, but I'll just help with the healing.
Depends that, what we're doing, really.
It gives that nice option.
It does cost money to respec all the time.
Well, that's the thing. With dual specking, you'll have that ability that you'll have two versions of talent trees you can pick from, and it also,
so what you can actually lay out a talent tree and quickly switch between them.
Yeah, and it actually changes your buttons as well, so you can have a complete. Oh, but
that's actually a lot better than, isn't it?
This is what I was on about. The hunters won't really want to jump maybe from one talent tree to the other.
I didn't know it would save a whole tree and everything.
Yeah, it saves the tree because it's shown on the front page of the website at the moment.
You'll have your
tree and your buttons are all
Treeman, StarCraft 2
interchangeable, so you can
Wrath of the Lich King Breakdown Light upgrade.
The only thing I'm not sure about is that they haven't said is where you have to change it, whether you have to do it in a city, and they're saying that you probably might have to do it in a city.
What about the cost?
It might be that if you're in a city, it's free. But if you're like at a battleground and you're waiting to go in, or you're, you know, somewhere else, you might be able to go to a place and a guy will do it for you before you go into a raid. But you might have to pay to do it, sort of thing.
Is it on their scrolly thing?
I'm not sure because you're on Warcraft.com.
Oh, oops.
There you go. Nope,
the website is broken.
The website is broken. No.
There we go.
Yeah.
Druid's back in view.
So, I must admit, I'm quite...
This is good, because obviously, you know, we've got to the point where trying to find a tank or a healer, you know, is so much hassle.
But that's the thing, some...
The Death Knight has put a lot of DPS Death Knights in the world, but not a lot of tank Death Knights.
It gives you that point of saying, I don't want to be a tank. I want to be DPS Death Knight.
Need to go to the Lexicon of Power to switch their talent spec. Or we need to get together with other players to summon one in.
Right. So it gives that ability of, you could set yourself up as a tank.
This is actually really good then, because I can... flip to survival when I want to kick butt in a raid.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's actually good. Because for a, at level 80 especially, even as a sole DPS, I'm finding I need two sets of gear.
Yeah.
I've got my PvP set of gear and my PvE set of gear. So there's a lot more distinction than it is, because back in the level 70 days, the PvP gear, because, I mean, I had mostly brutal gear, you know, that can carry you in a lot of raids quite easily. So. Yeah.
It allows for this specialism and also the fact of, you know, you could set yourself up that in your bank, you've got a full set of gear and you don't wear it. And when you put it away, you make sure it's all set up and working and it's all in good order. And then you swap the gear around and you kind of like swap the gear, go to the book, change your specs. The buttons automatically change for you, so you're not having to unlock your buttons and rearrange them because you want to have it in one way.
Respecing at the moment is a hell of a lot of work. You've got to spend the money. You've got to go. You've got to figure out what talents you want.
Yeah.
You know, if you do it a lot, you know what talent you have. And then you've got to put all your buttons back the way they normally are. Yeah. And it's just, oh.
But look at it this way. If you're, you know, you're doing PvP.
Dude, I do PvP and PvE. I'm the dinner dough.
And then, yeah, and you're doing PvE. It's kind of like, you might, fair enough, you've got a couple of buttons that will change because you pick different talents. But you might want the same button that you've got between the two talent trees.
Dinner.
You might want them in a different place for doing PvP.
Nah, I want my buttons in the same place.
You might just want that extra button going, well, actually, I never use that when I'm doing this, but on PvP, that would be so useful. So, and I'm like, well, that one isn't. So you could just have those two swap round just for the change on talent. So
well, I could fit all my buttons on the screen anyway.
It gives that extra sort of
feel. Amelin's online. And Tanaris. I wonder what she's doing there. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
But, I must admit, I think it's a good thing. They're doing some really, really nice changes to allow people like yourself who are level 80, this help a friend join. It's really pushing people to go back and start a new character, because some of them will, if they've got a friend joining, all they'll do is boost. They won't go back and start a new character because they can't be bothered. They'll help them out, give them gold, give them bags, boost them on dungeons, but no one's really going to bother to go back and start a new character because some of them don't want to climb this mountain of Everest again. But then if you've got the invite a friend and you're getting the triple experience points, then it means that if you wanted to, you can both just hit the extra levels on your characters to level up quicker, or you can use them on another one. I know...
look at this little noob. What a noob.
Gary's actually...
What level is he now?
He's got... He's just hit level 60 with his druid, which he started. Caught up with my hunter and overtook it because he plays too damn fast. He managed to get Blizzard to bring back two of his deleted characters, so he's got. And he started Death Knight, so he's got a level 58 Death Knight, he's got a level 47 Paladin, and a level 70 something hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And. He's just carrying on. But one thing that's really caught him is he's going back and he's doing some other characters and he's leveling up a priest, but he's not playing the priest. All he's doing is putting the levels up on the priest because he wants to have a healer, but he doesn't want to have to grind this healer all the way up to the high level. So he's just leveling it up and he said, I can just go out there and replace some low level stuff to get the battles. With a weapon up and pays for the gear out of his own money, and he's quite happy to do that. So it means he gets a healer without having to do the hassle of playing the healer. So yeah, he's liking that whole playing with one of his friends and leveling up at the same time. The other thing that he's cotton on to, which is the I can never remember what the name is.
Dinendal's Epic Power Machine.
What's it called when you have an item and you pass it through the family?
Inheritance?
No, you have an item. It's like a clock, and it gets passed down.
Clock.
Oh, I keep forgetting what the damn name is of what you would call it. Heirloom. You got?
Yeah.
You have the can't remember what you have to save up for, these tokens or shards or something.
You can buy gear which is bind to your account.
Yeah, that's it. The heirlooms.
But the gear isn't that good.
And you mail it to lower level characters. That's the point of it. It's a you pass it down to a character and they use it at any level and they can level up with it and
but
then when they're done
very
with it.
Good. You know, I looked at some of this gear, like at level 80 the specs on it are crap. They're comparable to sort of low end blues, really.
What about if you pass it down to a level 30?
Well, it will deteriorate.
Yeah.
It goes from level 1 to level 80 and its specs will ride that curve.
Yeah, but it's a set of decent gear that can level up with a character. It's just one of these things they've added in to...
I've got my epics.
Allow you to pass gear down to level up with, and then when you finish with it, you pass it down to another character. It's one of these little things they're just trying to make people go, well, that's cool, I got this piece of gear and I can start a new character and I can go get a level 1 and mail it all to him and straight level 1, he's got this. And it's like, right, I've invited Tim from work and we're going to link our accounts together and I'll join him in World of Warcraft. It's this way that they're trying to allow people to decide to go back to the old content and work their way through again just to keep people interesting. But no, I do like what they're doing with it. I must admit, I've now bought, finally got Wrath. I managed to go...
Grats!
Find a copy of the limited edition in HMV. It was their last copy, so I picked that up. Really liking the book that comes with it. So had a look at the book. I haven't listened to the soundtrack. Watched the making of DVD. That was really interesting.
I haven't watched that. Well, yeah, that's actually Amelia's one up there. I just got a normal one.
I got the mouse mat, but I'm not using it because I'm still using the Burning Crusade mouse mat.
Burning Crusade.
And then I got my little pet, and I also got the card. Have you got that? The card that you got there, is that the biscuits?
I've got a biscuit card, yeah, but I can make them myself anyway because I'm a cook. Yeah, I don't know where it's gone, but the critter bites
to the left.
One. Oh yeah. What? This isn't the one I had before.
That's it.
My God, has somebody used it? They have. Somebody used it.
I find it annoying that you get a card.
Oh no, these are the growth ones. Okay then.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Can you make those?
No, I don't think so.
It's annoying that you only get 50. It's just kind
of
like...
I've got hundreds of critter bites because I was using them to get my skill up. And my skill for cooking is now maxed out, by the way.
Nice.
I'm now the most epic chef in the whole world.
I do need to...
I need to get my fishing up.
Yeah, I do.
Because a lot of the cooking recipes at high level will have fish in them.
Yeah.
And my fishing is like 297 or something.
I found... when I was with my hunter, I hadn't done the fishing and someone said you really should get your fishing up. And I was finding fishing was better with the hunter because I got a cat. There's always a body of water nearby. You can get up your fish and you can just feed fish to your cat.
My cat doesn't eat fish.
Mine loves fish.
Mine's one of the cats from Stranglethorn Vale. Doesn't like them.
Yeah, I got mine from where the space goats originate from. But fishing, it was easy. I think the best place I found for fishing was actually going to the fishing teacher that's just by the water outside the tree for the elves' city.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pick up a recipe for cooking the mackerel. So I picked up the cooking for the mackerel and I stood there and I just fished loads and loads of mackerel until I got to the end, leveled up again, and then I built a fire and then I just cooked all of the mackerel and leveled up my cooking. And I was like, yep, 2 for 1. And then I could carry on doing it wherever else I went. So,
well, the good thing with fishing is you can do it anywhere and it will level you up.
Yeah. There's locks on certain levels you can't fish in those certain areas. So it means you can't fish on the move. But you could go to a low-level area.
Well, if you're just in Stormwind, you can just fish there and it will still get your skill up. You just have to put up all these crappy frogs and stuff.
Yeah.
Which aren't worth anything, but it gets your skill up.
Yeah, it's not... Your skill doesn't lower if you just fish in a certain area. A lot of people start thinking that they... When they're fishing, as soon as they fish a certain point, they need to move to another area to level up.
Well, yeah, because all the other professions, all the low items you no longer get skill points from, but fishing works differently.
Yeah, fishing you will actually...
Oh my god.
He's...
The Falklaw.
He's...
The dude's crazy.
and he keeps adding you into a conversation with loads of people while we're recording.
Yeah, they're all his dodgy mates. Anyway,
so yeah,
that's it for the show notes.
I'm epic on WoW. I'm like, I was going to put my money towards Dawn of War, but I just needed to get.
When's Dawn of War?
20th, I think.
So Friday.
Yeah, Friday. It's out Friday.
Oh, good. So you can review that, and I take it.
I hope there's a demo out. Actually, I hope there will be a demo out.
No, you can review the full game.
Yeah, I want to review the full game. I really want to buy it. So I'm going to look at seeing if I can put some money aside for it. But luckily it's a PC game, so it shouldn't cost too much. And now that I've rebooted my operating system on my PC, I should be able to play it on that while I'm playing WoW on my Mac. So, which will be cool.
Oh yeah, how's Windows 7 going for you?
It's annoying on the fact that because I'm running it off the 30 days, it keeps telling me that it's not official yet, and it keeps taking my desktop picture down and putting it with a black picture. So every time I go on, I have to pick a new desktop picture.
Why? It shouldn't be doing that.
I don't know, it just keeps doing it.
And mine didn't do that. Mine just, like, every 3 or 4 days it would say, activate Windows.
It just kept saying, you've got an unofficial copy.
What key did you put in?
I didn't put a key in.
Well, mine didn't do that, and I never put keys in.
And, you know, I said I had that thing come up at the beginning when I powered up my computer and it crashed, and it was like a gold medal. That picture keeps coming up at the very beginning.
Dude, just chuck your computer away and buy a new one.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back next week with a review of Dawn of War 2, maybe.
Yep, hopefully Dawn of War 2.
Maybe I'll review my new epic chest plate, which I should have by then.
Mm-hmm. And I shall be further on WoW.
So yeah, level 60 is your target.
Yep, I'm just got to keep hammering away.
58 and you'll fly away.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I was talking to Garibay and he was saying like the whole idea of having a flying mount changed for him because of the level that you get to go out to Northrend. It was just kind of like no point getting a flying mount because you can't use it.
Well, until you get to 77.
Yeah, so he's...
Then you just have to blur 1,000 gold on the training.
Yeah, so he says he's just going to go...
Oh my god, you've only got like 55 gold, haven't you?
Yeah.
You better start doing some work, boy.
I know, I'm saving up. I was picking up runecloth the whole time I was in that dungeon.
Good, runecloth's worth quite a bit. I think a stack of 20 will get you 60 silver at least.
Yeah. So, sell all of that.
Check out all the junk in the old guild bank and sell all that. It's probably worth about 10 copper altogether.
I haven't got access to the guild bank.
Oh yeah, because you're a noob, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah, and this time I'll actually do some work before the show because I was too busy playing WoW.
Yeah.
It's because I've been doing DIY all day. Fixing our smoke alarm. Our smoke alarm beeps every 30 seconds and it's been driving me
up. That's
because
the battery's low enough.
Yeah, and Sarah couldn't figure out how to get the battery out and she lost her temper so much she stood on a chair
and smacked it
with a hammer and it
put a hole through the ceiling.
So instead, when the smoke alarm goes off, it just goes meep, 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 meep. Instead of this... You know, the ear-bursting alarm, it is actually this little meep, meep, meep. So instead, you just sat there, and I push a button or something, and I'm like, oh my god, I just broke my PlayStation because you heard this weird noise, and you're like, oh no, it's the alarm going, meep, meep. We have to go to bed with the bedroom door closed, so the bedroom gets really warm because it's right outside the bedroom door, so you just hear this meep, meep.
Adam, fix it.
So I fixed it. I've got a new one. I had to rewire it all up, screw it off, and sorted. Right, so we'll be back next week.
Yep, feedback can go to feedback@gamercast.net or can be left on the blog at gamercast.net. Other than that, we'll see everyone next week.
Yep.